In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Reverend Fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is risen. So today we have the story of the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. I particularly love this story. It's beloved by many in our church because the woman at the well, we know not just from the scriptures, from this telling of Christ coming to the well at Sychar and finding the Samaritan woman and having this long discourse. It's not just that we know her from that, but we also know what happened after that. We know this is the great martyr, Saint Photini, the equal to the apostles. Photini is a beloved saint throughout the whole Orthodox world. She's in Greek, she's known as Photini. In Russian, she's Svetlana. And even in English, she has a name. The name Claire is actually taken from this saint, from Saint Photini. And all of these mean something similar. They all have to do with light or the enlightened one. And here we have the saint being enlightened by Christ in a conversation that she has with him. And it's kind of a strange thing that she has this long conversation with him for a couple of reasons. First of all, as the apostles point out when they come back, they say that they're surprised to see that he's speaking to a woman. And that's because in this time, a man and a woman would not speak to one another without her being accompanied by a guardian. And so the very fact that he was speaking to this woman was a shock to them. When he starts to speak to the Samaritan woman, when Christ starts to speak to Photini, she says, "You, a Jewish man, would speak to me, a Samaritan woman," pointing out, first of all, as the apostles did, the fact that it was a man speaking to a woman, but also that it was a Jewish man speaking to a Samaritan. The Jewish people viewed the Samaritans as both kind of half-breeds and as heretics. They didn't see them as fully Jewish, because they had intermingled with other races, and they also didn't view them as true believers in the Jewish God, because the Samaritans only accepted the first five books of the scriptures, or the Torah. So it's strange that Christ is speaking to a woman in the first place. It's even stranger that he's speaking to a Samaritan woman. And then finally, he's speaking to a woman who's known to be an adulterer. And the reason I say that is this. The woman came to draw water from the well in the middle of the day. And that's not when women from that culture would go to draw water. They'd go in the morning where it's cool. And also so that they have the water all day. So the fact that the woman is coming in the middle of the day shows that she has been shunned, that she is not welcome to come with the other women. And we find out later why that is when Christ tells her to go and bring her husband. And she says, "I have no husband." And he says, "This is true. You've had five, and the man that you are now with is not your husband." So in a sense, there are three strikes against her. Jesus, a man, is speaking to Photini, the woman. Jesus, the Jewish man, is speaking to a Samaritan. And Jesus, this holy man, this rabbi, whom she perceives to be a prophet, and that then he reveals to her as being the Messiah, is speaking to a sinful woman. And so we have here, once again, Christ showing his great love for us and the fact that he is not respecter of persons, that he is not one to only go to those who appear to be holy or to go to those of his rank and station in life or to even just to go to the Jews, the Jewish people. But instead, he goes to this Samaritan woman. And this discussion that he has with her is the longest discussion between Christ and a single other person in all of the scriptures. He has longer teachings, longer discussions, but that when he has those, he's speaking to his disciples or to a larger group. This is, like I said, the longest time when he sits down and has a conversation with one person. And the other thing that he does that's so amazing is how he reveals himself to her. He reveals himself as being the Messiah. She mentions the Messiah coming and says, "I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. And when he does, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." So here we have Christ not only having this long discussion with this woman, but also revealing himself to her in a way that he does not reveal himself to many. He reveals himself to the apostles after asking them who do people say that he is. He reveals himself to Mary and Martha when he's going to resurrect Lazarus. But this is a very unique thing in the way that he reveals himself to her. And so he shows once again in this that, as I said before, he's not a respecter of persons, but that his great love encompasses all. We see that in the epistle as well, when it talks about those becoming Christians who were not Jewish, but instead were from other lands, that they were Greeks, they were not Jewish people. And so here we have this wonderful story where Christ speaks to this woman, this Samaritan woman who's a sinner, and he asks her for a drink. And then she said that, you know, she responded when he asked for a drink that they should not have any dealings with one another. And then he said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman then responds in a way that's commonly happens in the scriptures when Christ is speaking allegorically and the person takes them literally, because she then comments that, "How can he draw water? He has nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." And she asks him, "Are you greater than Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself?" And in asking that, it's one of those times in which the answer is, in a sense, not really given. He doesn't answer that question directly, but the answer is given in the fact that he says that he's the Messiah, and thus he is greater than Jacob. So the question that she asks is correct. And so then he tells her that everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst forever. The water that I shall give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And once again, she misunderstands. She says, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." That's when he then tells her to go call her husband, and she says she doesn't have a husband, and he correctly tells her that no, she's had five, and the man that she's now with is not her husband. Through that, she says, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet," and mentions that the Samaritans worshipped on the mountain that they're on, and that the Jewish people worship in Jerusalem, and that's where men ought to worship. And he then responds to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such the Father seeks to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman then responds that she knows that the Messiah is coming. And that's when he then reveals himself to her, saying, "I, who you speak to, am he," saying that he is the Messiah. Now the timing is such that as soon as he says that, the disciples come back and they question why he's talking to this woman. And she then goes into the city to tell all of the people of this encounter that she had with Christ. And this is when the disciples have their own little conversation with Christ, and they offer him food. They say, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples, like the woman, were confused, thinking that he was talking of physical food. And they asked, "Has anybody brought him food?" And he said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." He then starts talking about the harvest. He says, "Do you not say there are 4 months, then comes the harvest? I tell you, lift up your eyes and see how the fields are already white for harvest. He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you entered into their labor." So here you have this discussion about the fields being ripe for harvest. And we see that in what happens, because the Samaritan woman goes and tells the people of Christ, and then they come back and believe in him. So what he's speaking of right now is not the disciples. He's not talking about the apostles themselves, although it does reference them, but it's actually talking about the Samaritan woman. It's the Samaritan woman who goes and reaps that which God has sown and brings those people to him so that they believe in Christ, so that they become some of his earliest believers from those from outside Israel. And so here we have this woman of ill repute who's living in adultery, who's not part of the chosen people, but she's a Samaritan. And then on top of that, she's a woman. And what does she become? She becomes a saint who is equal to the apostles. She brings faith in Christ. She's the one that shines that light. As I said, her name, Photini, refers to light or the enlightened one. She's the one who shines that light of Christ to the people of her land. And they come and they believe in him and they worship him. And as it says in the end, we believed before because of what you told us. Now we believe because we have heard it for ourselves, and we indeed know that he is the Savior of the world. So she's a beautiful example for us. And we know the rest of the story. We know what happened, that she then continued to go and evangelize for Christ, and that ultimately she would be brought before Nero, the Emperor Nero, who would tell her to sacrifice to idols. And she would call Nero a blind man. She would say, "You're blind, and I will not worship these blind idols that you worship," and thus was martyred for that. And thus is one of the great martyrs of our church. But here we see this woman who is a Samaritan and a sinner drawing so many people to Christ. When she was having the conversation with him, and he challenged her, and Christ challenged her, she could have said, "Okay, forget it, I'm done. You're right, I'm sinful, I'm leaving, there's nothing else I'm doing." But instead, what happened is she was inspired. The Holy Spirit spoke to her, that living water that he gave her welled up in her unto salvation and overflowed so that she wanted to share it with her neighbors, with those from the town that she was from. And so this woman, recognizing that she was shunned, that she was someone who had to come and draw water in the heat of the day instead of in the morning like all of her neighbors did, was bold and went back and proclaimed Christ. And there was fruit born of it, and those people came and they believed in Christ. And it shows us how much God loves us, that God would choose a person that would be the least expected to be chosen. If he was telling this story back in that day, people would expect that Christ would have gone to a Jewish man, a holy Jewish man, instead of going to a sinful Samaritan woman. And yet we see how God utilized this woman to bring these people to him. And we know from that God, too, wants to use us. No matter who we are, it says so clearly in the scriptures that God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, that God didn't choose the great orators, but instead chose simple fishermen to bring his gospel to the world. And in this case, chose a sinful Samaritan woman to bring her neighbors to him. So we know that God uses those that are unexpected, and we know that God will utilize us if we open ourselves to him. The light that she shared was the light of Christ, the light that he gave her by giving her that living water, by revealing himself to her. And he does the same to us. He reveals himself to us, and he has enlightened us. And we should be like Saint Photini and share that light that we have been given to those around us, especially in this time that seems so dark, in this time of separation, in this time when we cannot do the things that we normally do. We can't go to church. We can't receive the Eucharist. We can't live our normal lives and go to work and do the things that we normally do. But we still have that light, and we know that our hope and our salvation is not based on what is going on around us. What was the world that the Samaritan woman, that Saint Photini, lived in? It was a a sinful world, an idolatrous world, and ultimately she gave her life for it. Ultimately she was martyred because she was willing to stand up and say that no, it's not right to worship blind idols, but instead to worship the God who is, the God whom she met. And so in this time, we must do the same thing. We must be a witness. We must share the love that God has with one another. We should continue to pray for one another. Pray for one another every single day. Pray by name for those in the church every single day. Reach out to one another. Be a light. Shine that light. Shine that living, give out that living water that He has given us so that we may draw one another and ourselves ever closer to Him. May Saint Fotini may she be a great example to us of shining that light in the darkness, of sharing and giving that love that He has given to us. Saint Fotini, intercede with God for us that we, like you, may shine the light to those in darkness, to the glory of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.